Let's pray. Gracious and faithful God, we come before you with hearts full of awe and gratitude. Thank you for gathering us this Sunday in your house at Faith Wesleyan Church. As we open your word and reflect on Psalm 107, speak to us clearly. Let your Holy Spirit anoint this message. May it not be my words, but yours. Open every heart to receive, every ear to listen, and every soul to respond. May we see your steadfast love and faithfulness afresh today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. It's a great joy for me to be here this morning. And I especially thank dear Jackie and Jim for the opportunity given to us in sharing the message. On behalf of my wife and myself, we bring greetings to you and God be with you. This morning, we will be meditating from Psalm 107. If you have the Bible, I will appreciate. You can have the Bible, you can open it to Psalm 107. When I read the verses, you can also look into the Bible. The theme of this psalm is God's faithful love in redeeming, delivering, and restoring his people. Redeeming, delivering, and restoring his people. I like to coin this a topic or a theme, celebrating friendship and faithfulness of God. Celebrating friendship and faithfulness of God. It is a beloved hymn of thanksgiving for his children. If you could see verse 1, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his faithful love endures forever, forever. What is special in this psalm is something very different. I look into in a very different aspects. Generally, it was written in some poetical form or anything, but here, there were some four pictorial representations of the situations of the people. Picture of circumstances faced by God's children have been represented in four pictorial or biblical camera pictures. From verses 1 to 9, you can see the picture of a desert. From 10 to 16, we can see the picture of the prison. And from 17 to 22, you can see the picture of the hospital. And from 23 to 32, you can see the picture of the storm. A desert, prison, hospital, and a storm. Just we are going to see a little more detail about what it represents. What is the first picture they paint? It is the picture of the desert. Picture of the desert. You know what a desert is. You could see, just see verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. The nature of the people is being represented, or the circumstances they face is put in one word. It was just like a desert. Sometimes we too feel that our circumstances are like this. I am in desert. It's a picture of loneliness. It's a picture of lostness. It's a picture of emptiness. It's a picture of hungry and thirsty. And it's a picture of vainly searching. Many a time we are hopeless and helpless. We feel we are empty. We feel we are alone. We feel that we have been forgotten. We don't know the way. I am in a desert. But the Bible, the Word of God says, God delivered those people from their circumstances. The same God is alive this morning in our midst. He can deliver us. He can redeem us. He can direct us. You know, when we lost the way in a highway or in a desert, we know the position. People are like this one. They wandered here and there. They could not find the city where they want to go. But God led them in the right time. And the second picture they paint is the prison. See verse number 10 and 11. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Because they rebelled against God's commands and despite the plans of the Most High. Here a group of prisoners have been portrayed here. They are under the dungeon, chained, no light. You can easily visualize what a prison was. Nobody will be there, you will be alone. There will be darkness. Though you wanted to come out, you could not. Their position will be very awkward. It is very clearly said that in verse 12, so he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. What's the reason for their being put under a prison? It's clearly stated because they are rebellious against God's will. They are not obedient. In the midst of all the warnings by God, they are totally rebellious. They are bound in chain. They are weary, they are helpless. Many a time we may also feel that I am bound by circumstances. Maybe an alcoholic or any other thing. I wanted to come out, but I could not. Who else will redeem me, release me? The word of God says that people who are in prison, who are bound by iron chains, God redeemed them also. God released them also. The same God is now in our midst. Maybe we may have the different problems. I don't know what it is. But God knows who you are. God knows your problem. God knows your inner anguish. God can read your thoughts. God can know your circumstances. You may be struggling. But here is the word of God. God is here to redeem you, release you, and restore you. And bring back to light. Past is past. Here is a good beginning. First one is the picture of a desert. People led them to the right city. And the second picture is the picture of the prison. And God took them also. And the third picture that was represented is the picture of a hospital. Verses 17 and 18, let me read. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered afflictions because of their iniquities. Number 18, they loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. It's a word of illness, afflictions, darkness of death is there. You can easily visualize what a hospital is. And here God represents the circumstance of the people is just like in a hospital. Why? Because they were own transgressions. Because they are for their sins, they are in the hospital. It doesn't mean that all our diseases are only because of sins. But here the word of God says that they have been put under the hospital because they have transgressed the word of the God and the law of the law. My dearly beloved, they were waiting for their final moments. I don't know when I will die. I know a lot of people. We have in India, we visit so many elderly homes, home for the aged, home for the deserted. When you go and visit them, they will tell, why should I live? What I am going to achieve? If at all, if I die early, even some will come, brother, please pray that God should take me early. It's not in our hands. But these circumstances, God released them. He healed them from the sick bed. And he took it out. Dearly beloved, your position may be like a desert. It may be like a prison. It may be like a hospital. Still, our God is faithful. He is ready to relieve us. And finally, we have the fourth picture of the storm. Here I want to open it up a little more detailed. Psalm 107:23-27. Please listen to me carefully. Picture of Psalm. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest and lifted high in the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of this distress. A picture of the storm is mentioned here. All the above three is different, but this is different. They were in wilderness, they lost the way. They were in prison because of their rebellious natures. They were in hospital because of their foolish activities. And God has relieved everything. But here the question of storm is entirely different. Where it happened, it happened in deep waters. What does it mean? It shows our deep experience with the God. Great works are done in great waters. Whenever you want to achieve something, whenever you do want to do something new, you have to come out of your comfort zone. You cannot stand in a shallow or on the edge of the seashore and say, I want to do this and that. No, no, not at all. It's possible. It's a common sense. It's also biblical. And even we read across in many business books, suppose you want to do a new project, you have to take the risk. Boldly, you have to come out. You have to step out. But here, we have to step out in faith so that God can see to that. So the place of the storm is in deep waters. Where it happened? In deep waters. Second, the important thing is, who is the producer of the storm? It's very interesting. See in verse number 25, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high on the waves. What is the reason for the tempest? God produced the tempest. He stirred the tempest. He allowed the tempest to happen for a purpose. Many a time we may not understand why, what. Sometimes God may allow storms to happen in our life, or some setbacks, or some brokenness, with a purpose. Sometimes we may bring our storms like Samson in our lifetime. Sometimes like Paul and Silas, people may put them in the storms also. But here is a very special thing. God allowed this tempest to happen. Dearly beloved, are you worrying about the situation you are facing now? You may not get the right answer. You have been brooding, you have been waiting. You have been asking God, why? There is a purpose. There is a blessing in brokenness. Only you can understand as time goes on. Here he has to be, go where God wants you to go. Ready to come out. Ready to step out. It's also very comfortable to sit in a church like this, comfortably hearing the word of God. I tell you, my dear brothers, in our places, there are people worshipping under the shadow of the tree. They don't have not even a shade to worship. They are not to have anything. But I am happy that God has given you a beautiful church, beautiful pastor, wonderful fellowship. Everything is there. Are we ready to step out? There are people who have not yet heard about the Jesus. God has saved you. God has redeemed you. God has blessed you. Why? You are blessed in order to bless others. You are saved in order to save others. You are baptized in order to baptize others. Go to the end of the nations and preach the word of God. Are we ready? Are we ready to come out? Are we ready to go and meet people? Are we ready to share the gospel at least? Are we ready to say, God loves you? We must do it. Don't worry about the risk. God can do it. One is, the place of the storm is deep water. And who is the producer of the storm? God himself. And what happened? What is the peril of the storm? Third one. What is the peril of the storm? 26. They mounted up to the heaven and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered in darkness. They were all their wits out. When God allows a tempest, the person is reeling down here and there, moving here and there, drifted from one place to another. You don't know the way. Why? because God has allowed it with a purpose. The peril is being drifted, going ups and down. Again, let me very conclude. Where is the place? Deep water. Who is the producer? God Himself. What is the peril? They toil upside down. And the fourth one, what's happened? Here is very important. The prayer in the storm. The prayer in the storm. Turn with me to the word. It's extremely very encouraging that the prayer. It's stated that then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from the distress. They cried unto the, they didn't say they prayed unto the Lord. See the difference between praying and crying. They cried unto the Lord. God heard their prayers and delivered them from the trouble and the distress. That is the secret of coming out of the storm. Where is it? Place deep water. Who did it? God Himself. The peril, toil, upside down. What happened? They prayed to God, and there something happened very extremely good. My dearly beloved, this should be our experience as a prayer life. Many a time we don't pray. We heard about prayer. We have heard so many prayers. We preach about prayer. But my question is, do we have a real prayer time? What is your prayer time? How many minutes or how many hours you are praying? We know there is a board. Prayer changes everything. Jesus never fails. It's all okay. Prayer brings victory. Have we experienced that we have attained prayer because of prayer? Just look into this morning. I challenge you. Increase your prayer time. Kneel before God. Spend time in silence. Cry out to God. Let your frustrations be known to God. And God is a living God who can hear your prayer, who can deliver you, release you, redeem you, and He can bless you and use you for His glory. This is a wonderful thing. Of course, we need sometimes lesser pain is necessary to avoid a deeper pain. Suppose there is a thorn. When pulling out a thorn, it's painful, but it's always good for healing. Sometimes God allows certain storms to happen in our lifetime. It may vary from people to people, and circumstances may vary. But still then you have to understand, when God allows you with a purpose, when you have in a different thing, make sure that God is calling you to do something. So very quickly I tell you, the place of the storm, deep water. Who is the producer of the storm? God Himself. What is the peril in the storm? They've been toiled up and down. What happened? Then the prayer of the storm, please help. Sometimes we have the nominal prayer and the usual prayer. No, that will not happen. It is quite irreversible. When you have got everything is okay, your prayer will be very ordinary. When you are in a crisis, when you are in a trouble, when you are in a hospital, when you are on a deathbed, when you are in an accident, your prayer will be very precise. But it comes from the heart. Here the prayer is, help. Lord, help. We don't know. We are upside down. Everything is gone. Everything seems to look very dark, failure. Lord, help. That word comes from the depth of the heart. God will hear your prayers. It is not the length of your prayer that matters. It is the depth of the prayer that comes from your heart. God can know your heart and your tears. He can, your hands are numbered. Your thoughts are known to Him. Wherever you are and whatever your circumstances, this morning I tell you, dear brother and sister, God is near you, in you, with you. He knows your problem, your circumstances, your uncertainties, your failures, your hopelessness, your helplessness. Give it to God. Bring it to God. Lord, here I am. I need your help. God answers your prayers. And the fourth one is, what is the next one is the peace in the storm. When they pray, what happened? That is a wonderful thing. See, He stretched the storms to be murmured, and the waves of their hush. They rejoice when the worms grew quiet. Immediately after the prayer, God stilled the waves. A quietness came and a peace that prevails. Whatever may be the circumstances, dear beloved, God can still the position and the circumstance. Someone said, however great your faith in God, pain and suffering are part of life. However great your faith in God, pain and suffering are part of life. But God can remove that one. God can still that. We have heard about God calming the storm. Sometimes even God may cause the storm. And the same God who caused the storm can still the storm. He can make it quiet, and we can do with that one. The peace in the storm. And the next one is, what is the purpose of the storm? The people were afraid. They thought that they are going to be ruined, drowned. But now they are able to reach the destination. After the storm, they are so calm, they reach the destination. That is the difference they experience. What's the difference you are going to experience this morning? God is ready to change your position, your circumstances, and everything. Are you ready to accept this change? And heart should be changed. And you have to experience the stillness that prevails in your God's. And your goal should be very clear. And you must help to reach the destination. There are blessings in brokenness. Don't worry. God can use your brokenness, your failures, into a purpose. Where is the place? Deep water. Who is the producer? God himself. What is the peril? They have been upside down. And what was the prayer? Please help. Then what happened at this? There is a peace in the storm. Then is the purpose. They have reached the place. Finally, the thing is, praise after the storm. This is very much important. Look into 31 and 32. Let him go thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for the human race. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the conflict of the elders. They exalted and praised him and thanked him and worshipped him. Where? In the church, in the midst of elders, in the fellowship of the saints. That should be there. Whenever we receive certain things, we say, oh, it's okay. But here is a challenge that you have to come and you have to proclaim, you have to testify, and you have to share your testimony that God is good in my life. And finally, these seven things from this storm, make always sure, you may be in a desert, you may be in a prison, you may be in a hospital, or you may be in a storm. The place may be deep. And who produces? God. What is the peril? You are upside down. What is your prayer? Help. What is the peace? Oh, it's still God, still peace of mind. And what is the purpose? You are able to reach your destination. And finally, what should be your praise? You have to lift your hands and you have to thank God for everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So in all the four things, what is the common pattern? People in trouble, they cry to the Lord, he delivers them, and a call to thanksgiving. And we expect to do the same thing this morning. Lord, I am here. Please help. Please deliver me. I want to give thanks unto you. See, in all the circumstances, if you could see the wonderful thing, in verse 6, verse 13, verse 19 and 28, what was written? They cried unto the Lord. He hears their prayers and delivers them. And again in verse 8, 15, 21, 31, what they say? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for he wondrous works to the children of man. Make sure God is faithful to hear the cries of the people. No matter how deep your distress, God can deliver. Every deliverance is an opportunity to testify. Now I want to conclude very quickly. Now I wanted to look into this one. It may be a desert. From unknown, God can take you to known place. You may be in a prison. From darkness to light, God can lead you. In a hospital, from sickness to healing. You may be in a storm. There will be calm after the storm. Life's roughest storms prove the strength of our anchors in Christ. Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell the storm how big your God is. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. But God can calm the storms in your life this morning. And we have to give thanks to God. I put on some verses. If possible, you can also join with me in reading this one. Eternal God, You are great and glorious, holy and righteous, mighty and marvelous, just and jealous, good and generous, gentle and gracious, powerful and wonderful, faithful and merciful, invisible and immortal, loving and compassionate, omniscient and omnipresent, prayer hearing and prayer answering. We praise You and worship You. God our Father, please give us grace and guidance, peace and presence, protection and power, wisdom and victory, strength and success, balance and beauty of holiness, today's in Jesus' name. Let's close our eyes. Eyes closed. Heads bowed down. Let us lift our hearts to God. Lord, our covenant-keeping friend, we thank You for Your faithfulness that endures forever. From the depths of distress to the heights of joy, You have been with us. Today we celebrate not only Your friendship, but Your unchanging love and redeems, restores and revives. We offer our gratitude for every storm You calmed in our life, every disease You have healed, every chain You broke, every path You led us. Make us people of praise and people of trust. We commit ourselves anew, our lives and our families, our future, into Your faithful hands. Help us to walk daily with You, leaning not on our own understanding, but trusting fully in Your goodness. To You be all the glory, now and forever, in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank You.
I've had friends come and go in my lifetime, and I've had friends come and stay. Some of these friendships have been natural, and some have been difficult. My oldest friend is a woman by the name of Lori Rubringer, and I was 11 years old when I met Lori, and we're still friends. The friend that I've had for 33 years that has stuck closer to me than a brother is named Tracy Ellentenny. We've been friends for 33 years. Our friendship has lasted through time, distance, and occasional fallout, by which I mean fight. In 2016, a couple of new friends walked through our church doors. This is a picture of Moses and Manjula when we first met them. They have spent their lives ministering to the poorest of the poor in India. The love of Christ shines through their eyes and through their smiles. When they returned to India in the summer of 2016, I thought we would see them again in a couple of years. Sure, they have a daughter who lives here in Rockford. They'd be back surely to visit, but we didn't see COVID coming. We didn't see that Moses would have a major heart attack. We didn't see that Manjula would fall and break her leg terribly, and we didn't see that their son would need kind of a neurosurgery. So after about 9 years, I didn't really think about seeing Moses and Manjula again because I have a short attention span. But imagine my surprise, on May 24th, I received an email from Moses saying that they were back in Rockford, and if I was still here at the church, they would love to come and be here the next day. Through the summer months, Moses and Manjula have attended church and prayer group when their schedules have permitted. And whenever I spend time with them, I learn something. Today, after having been enriched by their presence, we will once again say goodbye. Saying goodbye is never easy, and there's no right way to do it. So let's not say goodbye, shall we? Let's just say, see you next time. Friendships like this can only be explained in one way, and that's because of Jesus Christ and our Christian bond that we share together. We have what I call now a kingdom friendship. This kind of friendship doesn't just exist on earth, it extends into heaven. It has no human limitations, and after this earth is passed, the bond will still exist in heaven as we worship Jesus together. We read in Revelation 7, 9, and 10, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" The bond that we share together as Christians cannot be explained on a human level. It is supernatural. The Holy Spirit creates a love for us and for them in our hearts. The gospel is the glue that binds us together. And no matter where they go in this world, that bond will remain strong and durable. I think this is a much more hopeful way to think about sending them away again, and we don't know when or if we will see them again. But it doesn't matter, because we have a lot in common. We have Jesus Christ. Anything that might have separated us, whether it's our nationality or our language, where we work, our economic status, all of a sudden, none of this matters as we worship Jesus Christ together. The common love that we have for Jesus Christ is the love that binds us together. As we send you back to India, we thank God for every single remembrance of you. Our memories will be joyful as we remember you. We will pray for you. And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends.